This is TWiT.
I am honored to welcome Dr. Virginia Eubanks. She is an activist and a political science professor at the University of Albany in New York. She's worked in community technology and economic justice for two decades. And she's also the author of Automating Inequality, How High-Tech Tools Profile, Police, and Punish the Poor. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
So two things that stood out for me with this book. One is how you really root it in history. So comparing the poorhouse of the 1800s to what we do today, to what our government does today, sort of storehousing the information of the poor. And also just the fact that you spoke to the people. You didn't just speak to the people making these tools, which you did, or the people using these tools. You spoke to the people that were most greatly affected by these tools. And I just want to start with a story that you mentioned. You have many reasons for writing, many inspirations for writing this book, but one of them happened a while ago, like, not very currently. You've been working on this a long time. You spoke to a woman who was using one of the EBT cards that, were supposed to replace, that replace food stamps in many places. And kind of, I had always thought, well, that must be nice. It removes the stigma. And, just tell a little bit about a story of what you learned from her during that conversation.
Yes. So the woman you're talking about was a young mom on public assistance who goes by a pseudonym in the book, because I talked to her many years ago for academic research. Her pseudonym in the book is Dorothy Allen. And I come from a background in the community technology center movement, as well as welfare rights and economic justice. And so I worked for a long time sort of co-creating technical resources with people mostly who lived in either public housing or in low-income neighborhoods. In this case, it was a residential YWCA in my hometown of Troy, New York. And Dorothy had been involved in the creation of this tech lab, and we were just hanging out in the tech lab one day, sort of shooting the breeze about technology. And I asked her, much like you just said, so what do you feel, how do you feel about your EBT card, your electronic benefits transfer card? Thinking sort of the same things, that perhaps it was easier, it was more convenient, it was less stigmatizing than actually pulling out paper food stamps. And she said, yeah, well, it's those things. But also, my caseworker uses it to track all of my payments or all of my purchases and all of my movements. So she would go into her caseworker's office, and her caseworker would say things like, why are you buying all your groceries at the corner store? If you go to the grocery store, it's much cheaper. And so she knew that her purchases were being sort of looked at by her caseworker. And I must have had this like incredibly shocked, naive look on my face, because she kind of pointed and laughed at me for a while. And then she got like more serious, and she was like, oh, Virginia, you all, meaning professional middle class folks, you all should pay attention to what's happening to us, because they're coming for you next. And that was 2000. So that was 18 years ago. And so whenever I'm writing and whenever I'm doing this work on how technology and public services intersect, I really have Dorothy's voice in the back of my head. Both for two reasons. One is that she was remarkably generous, right? Like, that was an incredibly generous thing to say like, oh, well, this is already happening to us, but you should watch out. Like, it might happen to you as well. But also, I think the big lesson there is that folks in poor and working class neighborhoods are already living in sort of the digital future, right? There's that old Gibson saw about the future's already here. It's just unevenly distributed. Mm-hmm. I actually agree with him, but I think I mean it in the opposite way that he meant it, which is in many sort of low income environments, like poor and working class neighborhoods, communities of color, undocumented migrants, communities of undocumented migrants, right? We're already seeing sort of the future of digital surveillance. And so it just really pays to have folks like Dorothy Allen be the people you start these stories with, because not only are they facing sort of the most direct impacts of these systems, but also they have the best information, and they're the most invested in creating sort of smart solutions to the kinds of problems that these tools create.